Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Yud Beis. Today's shiur will begin six lines from the top. Before we begin the actual Gemara, you'll notice a double underline, and on the side under our Mivner structural note, we've written Shtei Halochas Hakshuros Lemevois HaMefulashos. We will be learning two halochas with regard to mevuos, or alleyways, that in this case are through streets, as opposed to the standard mavui, which is a cul-de-sac. The Gemara here will be dealing with a type of through street. The Gemara, Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chano, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mevuos Hamefulashos Liir Acheres. Of course, as we've always recommended, use the Pirush Chai, the Book of Illustrations, to appreciate this sugya as well as the rest of the Masechta. We're describing a city that we'll call it centrally located, located between two other locations, and people of one location, we'll call it location A, travel on a path that leads through a middle city to get to destination B. That's the Mevuos Hamefulashos here, and Liir Acheres, as we said, it enables the people from city A to get to city B by passing through this particular mavui. The Gemara continues, Ubikshu b'nei ho'ir l'sosman, and the middle city members want to seal at one end the mavui, so it will no longer be a type of thoroughfare or through street for people coming from city A in their attempt to get to city B. They'll have to take the long way around if they were to seal it up. So the Gemara says, "Bnei Oisoir Ma'akfin Aleim." The members of that other city, then city A, can prevent the members of the city with the Mavui from sealing it up. Rashi, on the upper part of the narrow lines, "Bnei Oisoir Ha'acheres," the other city, "Ma'akfin Aleim." Why? Shekvar huchsuku lekatzir darkon derech oisan hamuvos. They've already had achieved a chazoka. In other words, it's an assumed right that they have achieved by having used it for many years. And this, of course, shortens their way. Otherwise, they're going to have to take the long way around. The Gemara goes on. Lo mibayo ki leko dirko achrino demakvi. I don't need to tell you, in a situation where there is no alternative route, that the members of the original city can stop the middle town from blocking up their mavui. Elo afilu ki iko dirka achrina nami ma'akvi mishum d'rvido marav. Even if there happens to be an alternative route, they can still protest and prevent the blocking of that mavui. Di omar Rav Yehuda, omar Rav, meitzar shechziku bo rav emosu lekalkalo. A meitzar literally is a border, but in this case it would be a path. Shechziku bo rabim, that the public has been using, it is prohibited to ruin it. Omar Rav Onon, Omar Shmuel, Mevuos Hamefulashos L'Rishus HaRabim. Here we're going to stick to one city. So within one city there is a Mavui Mefulash. That means a Mavui that would connect two public thoroughfares. Now, if you're in one Rishus HaRabim, you could cut through this Mavui to get to the other side, another area, another open area. Ubikshu b'nei mavois lahamid lohen d'losis. And the members of that Mavui wanted to set up doors, in other words, preventing it from being a thoroughfare. B'nei rishus rabim ma'akfin malehim. The members of the public thoroughfare can prevent them. Sovor mina, the initial thinking is hani mili b'dalet amos, that the prohibition of setting up the doors would be within four amos of the rishus rabim. Can Rabbi Zera Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rav Nachman, the Amar Rabbi Zera Rav Nachman, dalet amos esmuch rishus rabim kishus rabim damyon. Based on that principle that within four amos of a Rishus HaRabim, it's considered the domain of the Rishus HaRabim. And as such, the Rishus HaRabim people have a right over that four Amma area. Let us point out that Rav Yuzeram Rav Nachman's din of Dalet Amos Smuchos Rishus HaRabim has a din of Rishus HaRabim that has ramifications for the concept of Sofek Tuma Rishus HaRabim. As many of you know, if there's an issue of doubt concerning Tuma in a public thoroughfare, we rule leniently. And that would apply to this area as well, the four within four Amos off the Rishus HaRabim. So the thinking that the Rishus HaRabim can restrict the setting up of doors is within their area, so to speak, that area within four Amos. Velohi, and the Gemara rejects that though. Hasam l'inyan Tuma. That din that within four Amos is like Rishus HaRabim, that's a Tuma related halacha, aval hacha. But with regard to our issue of municipal considerations, public thoroughfare, Zinnin didachki b'nei Rishus HaRabim v'ayli tuva. Sometimes there are great crowds in the Rishus HaRabim proper, and there's a spillover into the Mavui, and you have to leave that open, free-flowing, so as to prevent overcrowding in the Rishus HaRabim, and hence the restriction applies even further than the four Amos referred to before. In our Mishnah, we discussed the division of other areas, and including fields. And you'll notice we have a diamond here, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivne heading, we've indicated these are Dvorim Shel Shutafin, areas that are jointly owned, V'shiron Haroi L'chalukah, and the minimum area necessary, or minimum amount necessary before you can force a division. In the course of the Gemara, you will see that after noting that the Mishnah deals with areas, dimensions with regard to the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael division, what about in Bovel? So the question we've dashed, underlined, as you can see with this marking. Now the Gemara. The Mishnah said, "Velo es hasode achiye ba tisha kabin lozeh v'tisha kabin lozeh." And then the Mishnah continued to introduce Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "Achiye ba tisha chatzoy kabin." His dimension, minimum amount for forced division, was in fact half of what the Tanakhama said. And the Gemara points out, "Velo pliki." The two opinions in the Mishnah are not in argument with one another. Morki Asrei, Umorki Asrei, each one according to his region. In area of the Tanakhama, the land was, we'll say, less fertile, and therefore, to justify a division, there would have to be a minimum of 9 kav, kav being a land measure, per person. In Rabbi Yehuda's community, where the land was much more fertile, even half that amount would be justified in forcing a division. But Bovel, my, what about in Bovel? How do we calculate minimum amounts for division? So as the Gemara goes on, you'll see that we're not dealing with, the Gemara will not present measurements as the basis of establishing division, but rather division based on amount that worker would be employed for. We're working with an assumption that a worker will not employ himself for less than a full day of work. It's not worth a person to go out to work unless he can be employed for a full day. And likewise, landowners aren't going to be willing to pay for a full day of work if the worker will be able to accomplish his task in just a couple of hours. So we continue in the Gemara. What about Bovel, Omar of Yosef, Bei Redu Yoma? Translated, that would mean the amount of land that could be plowed in a day. So that you'd have to have a parcel of land jointly owned that when divided, each parcel would be that amount that a worker could plow in a day. Plowing was practiced both in the, we'll say the spring season and in the winter season. And the Gemara wants to know which season of plowing are you referring to? The amount of time that it would take a worker to plow in one season is different than the amount of time the worker would take to plow that same area in the other season. And that's what the Gemara wants to clarify now. Mai bei reduyuma. What do you mean by a day of plowing? E yoima dezara, if it's the amount of land that is plowed during the planting season, and Rashi points out that the soil is softer, then it's easier to plow it because it had been previously plowed earlier. So if it's a plowing during the a day of plowing during the yoima zara, a day of plowing during the planting season, and it's harder to plant during something called the plowing season. Tre yoima karbalo have, that same amount of land that, as we said, during the winter season when there's an initial plowing, the ground is harder. It will take more than a day, but it won't take 2 full days. So that you're going to end up having a worker hired and paying him for 2 full days of work when it'll be finished in a day and a half. And that's a loss to the field owner, that he's paying for more than he really needs. So if you're going to say that the way we calculate is based on a day of plowing during planting season, it's going to end up being a loss for the owner during the plowing season. And e yoima karba, if when you said a day of plowing during the karba is the plowing time, during the winter time there's an initial plowing that takes place, yuma dezara lohavi, it's not going to be even a full day, it's going to be less than a full day of plowing work during the planting season. So we have to figure, how do we divide the land? How do we what's the minimum amount for land division in Bovel? The Gemara answers, Ibo yesema yoima dekarba dekorevitoni, Ibo yesema yoima dezara behaduri. So you have two approaches in the Gemara. If you look into Rashi, you'll notice Rashi has a couple of lashonas, a couple of presentations. What we're going to do now is we're going to look at the Lishna Achrina in the Rashi. You'll notice we have in our marked Gemaras a bracketed section, which we are not going to focus on, but we look at the Lishna Achrina in the Rashi, which presents a girsa that is similar to our girsa in the Gemara, in our Gemara. Rashi. Lishna Achrino Ipcha Garsinon, the opposite of what was presented before in the Rashi. V'ibo yesema yoima dekarba. One approach is that it's an amount of land that would take a full day to plow during plowing season. The kashyaloch, you might ask, yoima dezara lohavi. It would be then less than a full day of work during the plowing of planting season. So we say, don't worry. And to this, the Gemara responds, Biasra de Koriv Vitoni. That is the girsa we had in our Gemara. What does that mean, de Koriv Vitoni? Bishas Hazera Achas Kodem Lizria Viachas Liachar Hazria Lachasas Azroim. During the planting season, there is a plowing that will be done before the planting. And after the seeds are in the ground, the ground is a plow is drawn through the field to cover the seeds that were put into the ground. The word tani has to like double karvatani, a double plowing, so that even though the planting season it's much easier to plow, but you're going to do a double plowing, so that's going to take a full day. Rashi continues, ve'i bo yesema yoima zara, a day of plowing during planting season. Udekaomer, and you asked tre yoima karba lohavi. It doesn't come out to be 2 full days of plowing during the harder plowing season during the winter time. So we answer, the Gemara answers, Behaduri askinon. Sheesh Torah Godol Bishas Hanir. Veyoima Zara Have Tre Yoima Karba. The plowing during the winter season, during that plowing season, is a case where there's a great there's great difficulty involved. Great efforts must be expended in order to plow, and therefore by using a standard of a day of plowing during planting season, it will come out to 2 full days during the plowing season. And Rashi likes this version. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Davla. According to Rashi, this refers to Shutfin. They have a water pit from which they water their fields. They have one in Shutfis, and now they want to divide. Davlo Omar Rav Nachman Bei Dolu Yoma, and Rashi says Davlo Im Yesh Lahen Bor Shemimenu Mashkin Sadeh. They have a pit from which they water their fields. Bei Dolu Yoma Ad Shehe Bo Kedei Lahashkis Sadeh Kedei Puulas Yoim Lozeh Kedei Puulas Yoim Lozeh Mishum Schar Poel. Very similar to what we said before, there would have to be enough an amount of water that would be sufficient for the for a worker to water each field over the course of a day, so that if there is that amount of water in the pit, the partners can will divide, and that would mean that one day one uses it and one day the other one uses it. The next example, Pardesa. Rashi says Kerem. Kerem is a vineyard. Omar Avua Nishmuel Bas Shloishis Kavin. The area would be 3 kav per person. Tanya Nami Hochi, and a Tanaic source that supports this. Omer Lechavero Menas Bekeremani Mocherloch. If someone says, I'm selling you a portion of a vineyard, Sumus Omer Lo Yufchus Midimol Kavin. There shall be not less than 3 kav. So that you see that when you refer to a kerem, a vineyard, the minimum size of what would be considered a vineyard for commercial or for financial purposes is 3 kav. Omer Rav Yossi, ein elu elo divrei nevius. These are words like prophecy. Now, is that complimentary or not? So Rashi says these are words below tam. There is no without reason. When we Mirtz Hashem get to the Tosus, we'll see whether or not that's to be taken as complimentary or not. Bebovel mai. What about in Bovel, the division of Pardesa? Omar Rova Bar Kisna Tlas Atsiyosa Bnei Tresar Gufni. The term Atsiyosa is a word that refers to a group of 12 vines. So every group of 12 vines is called an Atsiyosa. And in our Gemara, it says that each party would have to receive 3 of these groupings. So you can see 36 vines per person. So if you have a vineyard that has a minimum of 72 vines in it, the division can be forced. And what is the significance of that number? So the Gemara says, Ki hechi to rofik gavro biyoma. That's the amount that it would take a worker to till the soil around the vines, to aerate the soil, to turn over the soil in a day. Now, since we mentioned that these are Rav Yossi made reference to Divrei Nevius, character of the Gemara, we use that as an opportunity to jump off the topic of dividing property and discuss the topic of prophecy. And the Gemara will be involved with this until the lower part of Omid Beis, of Yud Beis Omid Beis. So with that introduction in mind, we also note a house shape. These highlight the various maimros of Rav Avdimi. You have Rav Dimi de Min Haifa. You have one over here, and in the middle of Omid Beis, a second maimra of his. Another marking that will come up very shortly is a crown shape that highlights the expression Miyoyim Shecharav Beis HaMikdash. These are comments made regarding Nevuah Bizman Hazeh, namely Nevuah after the Churban. The first issue is that Nevuah was not removed, even though Nevuah in a public, in a general sense, ceased to function after the Churban. It was not removed from the Chachomim, so that it can be said that Chachomim have a certain level of divine inspiration that the Gemara feels can be classified as Nevuah's prophecy. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Avdimi, Rabbi Avdimi de Min Haifa, Miyoyim Shecharav Beis HaMikdash. The bracketed section is because the Loshen within it is not accurate. So if we skip it momentarily, you'll see the proper reading. That he's saying that from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Afal Pishin Itlo Min HaNavim, even though the prophecy was taken from the prophets, Minachachomim lo nidla. It wasn't taken away from the sages. So now we go back over the Gemara with the brackets. Miyom shechor beis hamikdash nidla nevuah min hanaviim v'nidna lachachomim. Upon the destruction of the beis hamikdash, nevuah was taken from the neviim and given to the chachomim. Well, what impression do you get? Atu chacham lav navi hu, by saying that it was taken from the neviim and given to the chachamim, you're implying that a chacham is not a navi; he is something else. The Gemara says that, and that's not true. Rather, the right hachikomar, the proper reading is afal pishin itla min anaviim, even though it was taken from the neviim. Minachachomim lo nitla, from the sages, from the wise men, they continued with their power of prophecy. Omar Amemar, the chacham odif minovi, a sage is even better than a prophet. Shenemar the novi levav chachma, the novi has the heart of a wise man. Mi nitla b'mi, who is compared to whom, who is made dependent on whom, who is compared to whom? Have a omer, kata nitla b'gadol. In general, when you make an analogy, we say the lesser is being compared to the greater. So in this pasuk, the Novi is being compared to the Chacham, indicating that the Chacham is greater. Omar Abaye, teida, now what we have in this section, you see first of all a volcano or trapezoid. These are highlight names, Abaye and Rava and later Ravashi, and the double underline highlights the word Teda. This represents Nisyonos Lechiach de Bizman Hazeh Nevuah Lo Nitla Min HaChacham. These are attempts to show that prophecy was not taken from the Chachamim. So Omra Abaye Teda, that let it be known that it was never, that the even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, power of prophecy was not removed from the sages. The Omar Gavarabo Milsa Umis Amro Mishmei the Gavarabo Achrino Kavosei, a great man, a sage, can say something, a Dvar Torah, and it turns out that same statement is made by another great man. So how is it that they're saying the same thing? That must be a function of prophecy. Amar Rava. Rava rejects that. Umay Kushya, how is that proof? V'dilma travayu b'nei chad maslanin. Maybe these two sages were born under the same mazel, and as a result, they think the same way. But that's not a function of nevuah. Elo marova teida d'omagava rabba milsa. This would be proof. A Talmud Chacham could say something. Umis Amro, we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Mishmei de Rabbi Kiva bar Yosef Kavosein. It turns out that which he is saying is something that Rabbi Akiva bar Yosef is the famous Rabbi Akiva, had said the same thing. And regarding that, Rashi says you can't say that they're b'nei chad mazel, that they're of the same mazel. Rabbi Akiva is so much greater, and yet. A later Talmud Chacham says something, and it turns out that it's something that Rabbi Akiva said. That must be a reflection of Nevuah. The Gemara rejects this. Om Ravashi Umay Kusha. How is that proof? Dilma Laha Milsa Bar Masli, who may be regarding this particular topic, they are from the same Mazel. So it's another force called the Mazel as opposed to prophecy. Elo Omar Ravashi, Teda, Ravashi's proof. The Omar Gavarabu Milsum Samra Halochal Moshe Misin Mekavosei. A great man says something. A Talmud Chacham says something, and it turns out that unbeknownst to him, what he is saying is really an oral tradition from Mount Sinai. That would be a reflection of prophecy. The Gemara asks V'Dilma Kesuma Baruba. Maybe it's just luck. It's like the literal translation. It's like a blind man in a room that he doesn't know where the door is, but he feels around and he gets out, and he is able to get out by luck. So maybe that's how the Gavarabo said something that happens to be Aloha Mashiach, but not as a function of the force, the power of prophecy. The Gemara says, no, you can't say it's just good luck that he happened to chance on the right thing. The Lav Tam Komar, when the Talmud Chacham said whatever he did, he said it along with some reasoning. And since he's not just saying a final ruling as such, but he's saying he's issuing a ruling together with logic, with analysis, that's not a function of simple like summa varuba, but that is a reflection of prophecy. And now we go on to another example of this phenomena from the day of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to point out that the Nevuah was taken from the prophets and given to Shoitim and Tinoikis, the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, Nitlo Nevuah Min HaNaviyim, V'nitlo L'Shoitim L'Tinoikis. Very surprising sounding Maimra, but that's what it is. The Nevuah was taken from the prophets, and the power given to Shoitim or imbeciles, people that are not of sound mind, and Tinokos, children, young children. Notice we have a long marking, and we also have a double underline. We're going to first give an example of how Shoitim have prophecy, and later how a child has prophecy. L'Shoitim Mayi, what example can be cited of Shoitim having the power of prophecy? Kiha de Mor Baravashi, like the following story involving Mor Baravashi, Davi Koi Baristika de Mechuza, he was standing in the Ristika, public street in the city of Mechuza. Shamelahu Shoita de Komar, and he heard an imbecile calling out, Reish Mesifta de Molechashta, Bemasa Mechasya, the Rosh Yeshiva that's going to ascend to the head of the academy in Masa, the city of Mechasya, Tavyumi Chosin. He signs his name as Tavyumi. Omar, Mar Ravashi heard this and he said, "Man chosim tavyumi rabban." And who amongst the rabbis signs his name as tavyumi? Ah, no, I do that. Shma mino l'didi kaima li shaita. It must be that the hour is standing for me. Meaning it's my hour. Come also. So Mar Ravashi went to Mechasya to take over the academy. Adaosa, on his way, Imnu Rabbonon li oisvei l'Rav Acho mi difti b'reisha. The rabbis had voted to offer the position, to give the position of head to Rav Acho mi difti. Kevon d'shami d'osa, when they heard that Moab Baravashi was on his way, Shodu Zuga de Rabbonon l'gabe limluchi bei. They sent a pair of rabbis to consult with him. Rashi adds, "Lemluchi bei litol etzo urushus lahamliches Ravacha," to get more Ravashi's approval for Ravacha's appointment. And what happened when these pair of rabbis got to more Ravashi? Akvinu, he kept them, meaning he delayed them by him. And they sent another pair of rabbis to meet Moab Ravashi, to consult with him. And what did he do? Agvinu gabe. He kept them also by him. And this repeated itself several times, Adem Olu Be'asor, until 10 accumulated. 10 people ended up by Moab Ravashi. Came Adem Olu Be'asor, once 10 people, 10 rabbis were together with Moab Ravashi, Posachu V'tono V'dorash. He opened a lecture, a Torah lecture, and by doing that, he became the Rosh Yeshiva. L'fishein poischin b'kala pochos me'asor. One does not open a Torah lecture called kala. Kala is a term you find throughout the Shas, sometimes having to do with public lectures in during the holiday season. And in this case, you would through from the context of the Gemara, it would be the Torah, the initial Torah lecture that a new Rosh Yeshiva gives when he ascends to the head of the academy. So that lecture is not to take place with less than 10. Kori Rav Acha Nafshe, Rav Acha, becoming aware of this, referred to himself the following saying, Kol Hamrian Lo, all those that start to experience misfortune, that are pushed aside, Lo B'mehera Mativen Lo, will not find a reversal of that quickly. It won't happen quickly. V'chol HaMativen Lo, and all those that receive benefit, Lo B'mehera Mirian Lo, will not experience a setback in the near future. Rashi says, "Kol hamarian lo, klomar hoyel v'nidcha asha lo yamlichuni og." Since the hour has passed, I am not going to be appointed any further. That is Rav Acha Midifti's reaction to what took place. From that story, of course, you see it all started from the Shoita proclaiming that he who signs his name as Tevyumi will become the new Rosh Yeshiva in Mechasya. Tinoiges Mahi, what's the story or the illustration of Nevua by a child? Kiha Debas Rav Chista Havayasu V'Kanfei Nevua. The daughter of Rav Chista was sitting on her father's lap. Havayasvi Kame Rova V'Romi Bar Chamo. Two rabbis, we'll say two students, were seated there. They were Rova and Romi Bar Chama. Omar Lo, Rav Chista asks his daughter, Man minayu bois, which one of these would you like? Would you want to marry? Omar Le Travayu, I want to marry both. Omar Rova v'ano Basra, I'll be second. As I'm sure everyone knows, a girl, a woman, cannot have two husbands. So how could it be that she says, I want both? Well, that would mean that one, she'll marry one and he'll die, and then she'll marry the second one. So when she said both, that's a type of, we'll say, prophecy, insofar as her eventually, in fact, marrying both, but one after the other. And that's why Rava says, I'll be second. V'chein hava, and that's what happened. So you see, Nevuah on the part of a child. Omar of Avdimi de Min Haifa. Kaidem she, there's a girsa that adds she ochal v'shasa. Our girsa is kaidem she ochal adam I said the girsa changes in the past tense. Kaidem she ochal adam v'shasa yesh lo shtei levavos. Before a person eats and drinks, it's as if he has two hearts. What does that mean? Two hearts. It's the inability to have clarity of thought. After he eats and drinks, then he has one heart. Then he is able to think clearly. Shenemar, the posuk that's now cited is referring to a person before he eats. It says ish novuv. Yi lo vev. Uksiv nevuv luchos. Umetargaminon cholil luchin. Let's go over this through the Rashi. Ish nevuv, Rashi says, kishu cholul, below keres mleya. Cholul would literally mean hollow or empty. It means before he has sated himself on a meal. Literally, without, when he's empty, without a full stomach. Yilobe, Rashi continues, Kamalavavos. He has a couple of hearts. She'eno maskin ledash lemo. He doesn't reach conclusions. As we said, he's indecisive. Now, when we read the Gemara, we saw there was a second pasuk. The second pasuk was Navuv Luchos. That pasuk is brought to explain the previous pasuk, ish novuv. What does novuv mean? So we saw Rashi means hollow. But you see this already in the pasuk, which describes the building of the mizbeach, the altar. It was built of wood with a, we'll say, four sides and a roof put on top, forming an altar. And the four sides were, we'll say, boards that created a hollow interior as opposed to a solid block of wood. So the word Navuv means hollow. And the Metargamin on the Aramaic of that is Chalil Luchin. Chalil, like word Halal, meaning something that is a hollow. The Gemara continues, Omar Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yeshua, Harogil B'yayin, someone who is accustomed to drinking wine, Afilu Liboy Otum Kibesula, even if he is, his heart is sealed up like a virgin. That's a literal translation, but it means a person that's is like his mind is stuffed. He can't think. Give him a little wine. Yayin mefakho. Wine will open him up. Shenemar v'tirosh yenuvav besulos. Tirosh is wine, and now because of the Gemara we saw just the last couple of lines, we know that yenuvav has with hollowness, with opening something up, will open up even someone that's sealed like a basul, like a virgin. So the power of wine is such that someone who is, Gemara qualifies it, someone who's a regular, who's accustomed to drinking wine, when he has no clarity of thought, by drinking a little wine, it'll open him up. And we have another Maimer Chazal, Chamra v'rechni pikhi. Chamra, wine, and rechni, somim, spices, increase a person's sharpness. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new discussion. Triangles appear, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei / Livnading, Dugmois, we're going to see examples shel chalukas nechosim bein achim. The division of properties between brothers. Brothers inherited an estate, and the issue of how to divide the different properties. But kamamehim, in a couple of examples, and what we're saying now is more or less based on Rashi. We'll see later, Tosfos has a different take on some of these points. But in the meantime, where some of these cases, echod mevakesh chelko, a brother is going to put in his request for his share of the estate, al meitzu kaka dekvar yeshlo, that his portion of the estate should be a piece of land that borders on another piece of land that he had previously bought on his own. We've seen this concept of dina de bar metzra in the past, which has to do with the general idea that a person would prefer having several parcels of land that are contiguous with one another, thereby making it easier for him to plow them all without having to transport a plow from one field to another field that's located at some distance. So if they border one on the other, it's to his advantage. And in the discussion, can he in fact insist on that? The double underline marking, which will appear in a little while, will highlight the expression "kegainze kaifen almida stom." In certain circumstances, we can force something because otherwise it would be like the behavior of stom, place of evil. And where do we see this? We see this in cases of zenene vezelo choser, where one can benefit without coming at the expense of someone else, where someone else doesn't lose. So if you can benefit and it doesn't come as a loss to someone else, like, why not? And when that arises, so then then we will force such a division. Because giving the one his request is not coming at a loss to the other one. Bagemora muvo deos bekama me'amikrim sheyesh lischashev ba'ach sheroitz lekabel chelko la'meitzar shekvar yeshlo. In a couple of these cases, we're going to conclude, or I should say, we're going to attempt to conclude that the brother that had already acquired a previous parcel of land should be able to get his share of the inheritance that borders on that. But Taina, with the claim zeh shel zeh nene vezeh lo choser, I can benefit, and it's not coming at any loss to you. In other words, in my getting this piece of land that borders on my land, on my previously purchased land, it's not coming at a loss to you. You get the other parcel of land that's part of our father's estate. The Gemara in many of these cases will show an alternative way of looking at things where it might be a loss to the other guy. So let's see the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. Pshita chelek bechor vechelek poshut yavinon le a chad matra. If you have a firstborn in the family, and as everyone knows, a firstborn gets a double portion. So if a double portion means twice as much as any other brother. So a man died leaving, let's say, two sons. So the bechor, the firstborn, is going to get a double portion. It's obvious that the double portion means will be, we'll say, two-thirds, two of the three fields that the father had shall be next to each other. Those two fields that the Bechor would get in our example shall be two fields that are next to one another. That, as far as the Gemara is concerned, is not the subject of discussion. We'll see more about this Mirtz Hashem when we learn the Tosfos. Yavam Mai. What about the case of a Yavam? A Yavam is a surviving brother who has other brothers, but he is the one that marries the widow of a deceased brother who left no children. So the Yavam is the the one who does the Yibum marriage, and as a result of doing the Yibum marriage, he inherits his his brother. He becomes the takes over whatever his brother would have received. Now, we need to see a little more about this. We look in the Rashi, in the upper half of the Rashi column, Yavo Mai Hamiyabim Es Eshes Ochiv. One of the surviving brothers actually married the widow. Dekom Tachtov Lenachlo. We should point out that the brother that died predeceased their father. So the brother that does the Yibum, he is entitled to an inheritance not only on his own merit, but he also inherits the portion of land that his brother would have inherited. V'neitel shnei chalokim, mai. What is the din in this case when the estate event, their father's estate is distributed? The Yavam is entitled to a double portion. Can he insist on receiving the double portion of fields that are next to one another? We recommend continuing in the Rashi that we started. Rashi continues by saying, Mi Matsu Amri Le, can the other brothers say, since you are receiving a double portion, but not on your own merit, not like a b'chor, not like a firstborn, who on his own merit gets two. Not so. You are getting two fields, or a double portion, because of him, the deceased brother. So since that's the case over here, lo yavi luhu nihaloch achad mitzra zuetzelzu. We're not bound to give, to see to it that you get the two fields bordering one on the other. Elav malis gabon dadomi, unless you compensate us, because we too would be interested in that field that you want to have bordering on the field that you're getting in your own merit. So if you want to have it your way, so you'll have to compensate us in order to gain that right of having the two fields, one next to the other. What's the issue? Let's turn back to the Gemara. Yavam mai. Omar Abaye, he. Whatever we said by Bechor, that the Bechor has a right to get the two fields next to each other, so too with regard to the Yavam. Mai taimo. And what's the reasoning behind that? Bechor karye rachmona. When you look at the psukim in Sefer Dvarim, Perichofe, dealing with Yibum, the pasuk says that the pasuk describes the Yavam at using the word Bechor, even though in technical terms he's not an actual firstborn, but the one that does the Yibum is referred to by that word. Rava Omar. Rava disagrees with Abaye. Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, V'hoyo ha-bechor. Ha-v'yoso ki-bechor, v'lo chalukoso ki-bechor. When the Torah speaks about the Yavam, it says, V'hoyo ha-bechor asher teleid, and it shall be the Bechor asher teleid. Rashi gives details about how to understand that Pasuk. But All the pasuk is telling us is that which one of the surviving brothers should do the yibum, the bechor. And the word bechor means the eldest of the brothers is really the first choice to do the act of yibum. That's all that the Torah intends, but not to extend the concept of Bechor to include division of property. The Rabbeinu Gershom adds, Hav yosu gebechor litol shnei chalokim, to receive two portions, like a Bechor gets two portions. V'lo chalukosu gebechor litol shneim b'meitzar echad, but not all the way like a Bechor that he should get the two properties next to each other. So the Gemara continues, Hahu dezavan ara amatsra debay nasha. There was a person that had bought land that bordered on land owned by, now bay nasha is a term that can refer to either his father-in-law, that's one pshat. Another pshat is his own father. So we'll take his own father just as an immediate example. There's a person that bought land that bordered on his father's properties. Then the father dies, and the estate is to be divided. Ki ka palgu, when it came time to divide the father's estate with his other brothers, Omar Le, this particular brother that had previously purchased land, says to his brothers, Paligu li amatsroi, give me my portion of father's estate on my border. The other brothers, each one will get their equal portion wherever. For this particular brother, it's exceeding benefit to receive his portion alongside on the same border of the field that he had previously purchased. Omar Rabba Kagoyin said, Koifan al Midas Dom. This is an example that we would force the other brothers to yield to this one's request. Maskif lo Rav Yosef, Amri le Achi. Rav Yosef says, we can't force them to yield to his request because they can respond. They can claim Ma'alinon le aluya ki nichse debe bar merion. We're going to see a discussion in the Tosfos who takes issue with Rashi's pshat, but for right now, we're going to use Rashi's pshat. Let's look at Rashi together. Omru achi malino le yeluya lonu hi meshubachas ki karkusish shel bar merion. To us, for us, that particular land that's next to the land you bought, that part of father's estate, is more valuable than the rest of his estate. Like Kikakos of Shobar Merion Shem Ulois, like the properties of that well-known family, the Bar Merion family, that had very expensive properties. Umistabra Hodor of Yosef, Besoda Besabal, Shichul Loimar, Poomim Shizu, Mizbareches Mishar Asodos. Rashi's thinking is that it's probably dealing with a rain field. That means a field that's watered by rain. And at times, this particular field produces more fruits than the others, than the other fields of father's estate. Now, so how do we deal with a case like that? So we see Rabba said the brother can insist on getting his portion bordering on the previously purchased land, and the other, and Rav Yosef says not so. They can claim that that particular parcel of land is more valuable than the rest. The Ilchasot Rav Yosef, and the Gemara rules like Rav Yosef. Trei Arasa, a Trei Nagri. A Nagar is a water channel, a water ditch, a stream, and it has particular value for fields that need to be watered through irrigation. Two parcels of land that are on two streams, and we have two brothers that are coming to divide. And according to Rashi, this too is a case where one of the two brothers had a previous parcel of land along one of the streams. So he is going to request getting the land divided as part of the state that borders on his own purchased land. As far as water supply is concerned, it would appear superficially that both fields have the same chances of being watered, because each one has a stream running by it. Omar Rabba, Kegon Zeh Koifen Al Midas Dom. Rabba says that the other brothers have to yield to his request to get the portion of land that borders the one that he had originally acquired. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef objects. Zimnin dahai midvil vahai lo midvil. We spoke of two streams. Sometimes one stream continues to midvil, means continues to flow, while the other stream dries up, it doesn't flow. So that why should you get the parcel of land that you're requesting when the stream running by your land is more reliable than the other stream? The Hilchasakr of Yosef. Now, another scenario. Tarti Arasa Achad Nagra. There are two parcels of land that constituted an estate that are now divided between two brothers. And one of the two brothers happened to have previously purchased land next to one of these fields, one of these two fields that are located alongside a stream, one stream. So this, in contrast to the previous case, nothing with one stream versus another stream, all the fields in question are on one stream. Omar of Yosef, notice the change now. It's Rav Yosef says, in this case, Kegain Zeh Koifen Al Midas Dom. This is a case that, in fact, the brother that had previously acquired land can insist on getting the portion of his father's estate that borders on that purchased land. Maskif lo Abaye. Abaye tries to introduce an alternative way of looking at this. Motzi Omar, the other brother, can say, I want the land in, we'll call it the land in the middle. In other words, I want that parcel that borders on your purchased land, and you would get the further parcel of land, so that I would be sandwiched between your two parcels of land, and that would benefit me, because bo'ino de ofish arisi. We take a look at Rashi toward the bottom. Nicholi lafushi arisi tovli shein luchos shtei sados achas mikan vachas mikan. It would be to my benefit for you to have two parcels of land separate from one another. One on this side of the land I want, and one on that side of the land that I want. Kidei shetarbe loch arisin. That way you'll have to have more workers. By having workers on both sides of the land, that would enable that middle parcel land to be better guarded. The Gemara continues. V'hilchasuk Rav Yosef. The Gemara here too rules like Rav Yosef. Afushi arisi lav milsa hi. That claim of having more workers is not a legitimate claim or a legitimate enough claim to have the division taking place any other way. We continue at the top of Daf Yud Gimel. Chad Giso Nagro v'chad Giso Naro. And since our initial learning is based on Rashi, we can use the Rashi diagram. You have a river running in running east-west. It's on a river running on on an eastern border of a field, and the river is running east-west, and an irrigation stream or irrigation ditch running east-west, namely a river, which is of course a more substantial supply of water than a stream. The river is on the eastern side of the estate that needs to be divided. It's on the eastern side, hence it's running north-south, and you have a nagra a minor type of ditch, water ditch, or water canal on the northern side of the land running east-west. How shall this be divided if you have this parcel of land in this form divided between two brothers? If you just slice the land down the middle, it'll be an inequitable form of distribution vis-a-vis the water supplies, someone getting more than the other. So how can it be divided in an equitable fashion? The Gemara says, Palgin lo bekarna zoil. You will divide it in an angular fashion. As you can see in the Gemara diagram, that's printed in the Gemara, where Rashi has the diagram, each brother, Reuven and Shimon, each brother will get a parcel of land along the river, and likewise along the Nabra. Let us now turn to Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Meitzar, the second Tosfos on the Daf. First Tosfos we had included in our previous Shiur of Daf Yud Aleph. So Tosfos here is referring to the Gemara 11 lines from the top of the Omid. Meitzar shichziku bo rabim osu lekalkulo. The rule that was presented in the Gemara is that a path or a route that was used by the public, and the public has gained usage of it over time, you cannot ruin it. And we saw that in the context of the path through the Mavui, that the Mavui residents could not prevent others from using it as a thoroughfare, as they had been using it as a thoroughfare up till that point. Now, the Tosfos focuses on the idea of hichziku bo rabim hainu kishichziku birushus, when their use of it was legal. Avolim boyin lahachzik shelo birshus. If, however, they come to use as a shortcut or a path something that they don't have a right to, yesh limchus biodam, you can protest that. Valinko pizra valesiv, and to take clubs and sit there, banishing anyone who tries to use that as a path. Kidemuchach behaminiach, as is proven, as is taught in the third parak of Bava Kama. We now turn to the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil Velo, and this refers to the Gemara, 23 lines from the top, in the different opinions that the Mishnah had mentioned regarding the division of a soda, 9 kavim. Rabbi Yehuda said 9 half kavim, and the Gemara said velo pligi marki asrei umarki asrei, each one according to the quality and productivity of the land in their respective locations. And later there will be relevance in this Tosfos to point out that the Gemara asked bebovel mai, in bovel, how is land distribution to take place. Pirush Ri Bar Mordechai, the Ba'asrei Rabbi Yehuda, in Rabbi Yehuda's locale, Rabbi Yehuda spoke about 12. That's 9 half kavim per person, which was half the amount that the Tanakama said is necessary before you can force a division. Hayakarka Choshu V'Toiv, the land was very rich, was very fruitful. V'Hayachoshuv L'Troach B'Tisha Chatzoy Kavim, it was worth an individual's while to trouble himself cultivating even 9 half kavim. The Bach suggests to read at this point that which is in brackets a little bit later, so we skip a couple lines and read the bracketed section here. V'yafapi shelo hoya bo kedei harishas yom roy hoya l'troch. even though 9 half kaf with such a small portion of land, not enough for even a full day of plowing. Of course, a standard that you remember from the Gemara, so that even though you would be hiring a worker to plow and pay him for a full day of work and he would get the job done quickly, the land was so rich and fruitful that it would be worth one's while to pay a worker a full day of work, even though he'll get the job done very quickly. Now we go back to the point that we departed from before in the Tosfos. Avol be'asre detana kamo lo hayakarka toiv kol kach she'eh choshev l'troach b'pochos mitisha kaven. In the area that the Tanakama lived in, the land was of lesser quality, and it wouldn't be worth one's while to exert efforts in cultivating if it were less than 9 kav. And now we skip down to the section Tosfos after our brackets. The Hashtaboy, and now the Gemara asks, Bebovel Mai, what about the standard to apply in Bovel for division, forced division of jointly owned land? She'ena karka toiv kolkach, v'ena roi kishior hashonui v'mishnosenu. The land quality in Bovel was poorer and not like the land taught, not like the quality of the land taught in the Mishnah. Hence, the Gemara was asking, well, okay, what about in Bovel? We now turn to Tosfos, the next Tosfos, Dibur Masel V'i Bois Hema. Before we learn the Tosfos, just take note that the Bach mentions this Tosfos and the next one are really part of one Dibur Hamaschil. So we're not going to pause in between. This is referring to the Gemara, 20 lines from the bottom. And you notice it says Hochi Goris Rabbeinu Chananel. The Girsa that we will see in the Tosfos is not like the Girsa in our Gemara. The topic had been what is considered a day's worth of work. And now we continue with the Tosfos. E boyis ema bekarba v'zara ubahaduri. Word bahaduri has to do with going over something again, which we'll see and explain in the Tosfos. We've noted that when, according to this version of the Gemara, when we speak about one day's worth of work, when the word bekarba would mean a day, yuma dekarba, a day's worth of plowing during the plowing season. Pirush. Base harishas yom, an amount of land that it would take a full day to plow. V'shapir have yoima lizara, and it works out to be a full day of work during the planting season as well. Dekeshiyovo lizara, when he comes to plant, choresh ubachazirosoi oid moishech amachresh alakarka. Vizorea. During the planting season, the practice would be that the land is replowed, and when that first act of plowing is done, he draws the plow back over the plowed area again. That's the word b'chaziroso is the word b'haduri that the Gemara made use of. And then Vizorea, vize bahaduri, and that's what we mean by the word bahaduri. Now, the detail that we want to emphasize here, and this we didn't see before, but we didn't see this in Rashi. There, Tosfos is making a reference to two plowings before the planting is done, so that one day of a worker's time plowing during plowing season would also be one day of plowing during planting season. And, but the land is much easier to plow. Of course, he'll be doing a double plowing, and that will take him a full day during planting season. So that was the first suggestion of the Gemara. V'ini bo yesema yoima dezara. The division of land in Bovel would be the amount of land it would take to plow during the planting season. Udeko Amris, and the Gemara asked, Lo have tre yoime karba. We can't account for two full days of work during the plowing season. So we explain, Koriv yoime upalga. So he'll plow during the plowing, during the plowing season, the winter season when it's the ground is harder, he'll plow a day and a half. V'hodar toni v'koriv ad shalom yoma. On that second day, he'll continue plowing, he'll replow until the end of the day. So you'll pay him in effect for two full days of work, during which he worked two full days, so that the initial plowing during plowing season would take a day and a half, and at that point that he finishes the job, he replows until the end of that second day. We now continue with the Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil, Davlo. This refers to the Gemara, 19 lines from the bottom, and we are speaking about dividing Davla. Rashi's pshat had been a water pit. Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel. The diamonds you can see highlight the Rabbeinu Chananel, and at the end of the thesis we'll be highlighting a reference made to Rashi. Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, Eretz Shemashkin Oysa Bo'inon L'chol Echad Eretz Shedoylin Lo Yoim Echad. It's an amount, Davla, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, refers to an amount of land that one would irrigate, over the course of a day. In other words, it's an amount of land that it would take a full day to irrigate. And irrigation deals with drawing of water, pouring it into ditches that feed into the field. So as far as the Rabbeinu Chananel is concerned, it's a shi'ur, an amount of that's dependent on an area of land, an amount of land, an area of land that it would take a day to irrigate. The kosheleri, the in cane, if that's what davla is, an amount of land, then havele lemivi bebavomai kideboi beinoch. The Gemara should have asked here, as it asked in the previous cases, what about in Bovel, where there was a different land quality, land quality, land requirements, and yet here the Gemara remains silent, doesn't ask about how about in Bovel. Al Kain Nira Kapirish, or Al Korchuch Nira Kapirish Akuntris. Therefore, the Tosfos himself prefers Rashi's pshat, that Davlo is a water pit, and it's not an issue that's depending on land quality, the Gemara doesn't ask about what about in Bovel. We now turn to the next. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMasil, Omar Rabbi Yosi, relating to the Gemara, 15 lines from the bottom. Where he reacted to the shiur, the amount stated in the brisa, and he said, "Omar Rabbi Yosi, ein elu elo divrei nevius." And Rashi had explained that the shiur stated for the division of a kerem as being not less than 3 kav per person. Rabbi Yosi's reaction to that was ein elu divrei nevius. It's a dover, something without any tam, without any stated, without giving any reason. Tosfos says that this comment or this description of Ein Elu Elu Divrei Nevi is lo l'shevach komar. This is not to be taken complimentary, as if someone said, "Oh, that's a wonderful point. That's prophetic." No, it's not to be taken that way. Elo klomar, but rather, like Rashi said, "Shoimer below tam." You're saying something without reason, without any reason, as if a prophet speaks and says, "This is God's will." He doesn't necessarily have to give a reason behind it. It just states what God wants. And in that sense, we're going to use the term nevius, but here not complimentary, that you're stating an amount of division without giving any reason. Dechi ha'gavno b'soif mumen elu, in Maseches Bechoros, it's the name of a perek, mumen elu, Gabi, referring to the topic there in Bechoros, which deals with different kinds of imperfections, blemishes, and it mentions there a yaseres shein bo tziporin metame b'mag v'maso avolo b'oil. It's an extra digit on the body, like a sixth finger, that doesn't have a nail growing from it. That digit, if it's removed, it's metame, it communicates tuma b'mag v'maso through contact and carrying avolo b'oil, but not through overshadowing. In the case of a complete limb, let us say an amputated finger with all of its parts, including the nail, that would communicate tumas oil. But if it's a seris that doesn't have a nail growing from it, it is not metame b'oil v'komar. And the Gemara there said regarding that point, osu divrayim kedivrei nevius. That ruling is like nevius. And it raises a challenge. Monafshach. Either way you look at that, e aver hu, if the aseris is a limb, even without the nail, letame boyel, it should communicate tumas oyel. The e loy aver hu, and if it's not considered a limb, lo letame klal, it shouldn't communicate tuma at all. So that you can see that the term Divrei Nevius is used as a negative term. V'chein yesh lomar b'so perikatzed ma'abrin, and likewise in Maseches Erevin, where the same expression appears. I think it's worth pointing out that in Maseches Erevin there is a Tosfos, and in over there the Re happens to disagree with this approach. But for our purposes, as far as this Gemara is concerned, Ein Elo Divrei Nevius is not something stated in the most complimentary fashion. We now continue with the Tosfos Dibra Maschil Otu. This is related to the Gemara 10 lines from the bottom. Otu Chochom Lav Novi Hu. This was in our Mark Gemara, so it was in the bracketed section where the Gemara had suggested that the Yom Shechol Beis HaMikdash Nevuah was taken away from the Nevi'im and given to the Chachamim. And by saying given to the Chachamim, it would indicate that a Chacham is not a Novi. Tosfos asks, V'im Toimar V'perek Ben Sorer the Ka'omar, in the 8th parak of Maseches Sanhedrin, it says, "Mishechorav beis hamikdash nital ta'am bi'ah v'nitan li'ovrei avera." From the time the beis hamikdash was destroyed, the pleasure of intimacy that one the pleasure that one derives from intimacy was taken away and given to sinners. That would mean that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the pleasure one derives from intimacy would be through forbidden acts of intimacy. Tikshi le nami, could the Gemara not have asked over there, Otu kodem shenechrav lo have lehu tam bio leover avera? And before the destruction of the temple, sinful intimacy would not have yielded pleasure. Skipping the brackets for a moment, kideparachacha. In other words, like we're asking over here, that when you say that after the destruction of the temple, it was taken from and given to, just like in our Gemara, the Gemara asked, does that mean that prior to the destruction, it was not, in this case, Nevuah wasn't relevant to Chachamim? Why there in the Gemara did it not ask, are you telling me then that before the destruction, there was no Tam Bia for the Ovri Avera? And why? Why could that not be the case? So we go back over the bracketed section. Ha Mapik Lei, the description of pleasure from forbidden acts of intimacy is learned from a verse, Midichtiv Mayim Genuvim Yimtoku, stolen waters are sweet. That's a pasuk from Mishlei. That obviously has relevance to a time period before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So, why is it that the Gemara in Sanhedrin did not raise Cain over that statement of Mishechorav Beis HaMikdash Nita Tam Bia V'Nita L'Yovre Avera, like the Gemara here is raising its objection? The Yesh Lomar. The Gemara there could have easily answered over there, like it answered over here. Nital tam bia. Upon the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, pleasure from intimacy no longer continued. However, from the sinners that had pleasure from forbidden acts before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, that continued till after the destruction. Gemara doesn't bother raising this question every place, every time it could have asked the question. Let us now turn to Amud Beis and continue with the Tosfos. Dibur Maschil Kol. The Tosfos, as we said at the top of Omid Beis, Kol Hamrian Lo, Loi B'Mehero Mativen Lo. This was a statement made in our Gemara by Rav Acha, who referred this to himself upon discovering, realizing that he would not be the Rosh Yeshiva. The comment being that he who experiences a setback will not find a return to betterment in the near future. Ubeshili Marubo, toward the end of the seventh parak of Bava Kamma, Dekoma Ravacha Gufei, Ravacha himself says, with a slightly different girsa, but a totally different meaning now, Le'olam ein mativen lo. There he says he will never have it better. In our Gemara, Rav Acha says, Kol Mirin lo lo b'mehera. It won't quickly get better, but later it'll get better. There in Bava Kamma, he says it'll never get better. How are we to resolve these two comments? Iko le'meimar. So we can explain as follows. D'mitchin le'omar. At the beginning, when it was fresh information that Mar Bar Avashi took over the head of the yeshiva, he said, "Lo b'mehira mativen shoya mitzape shiachziru ligedulaso." He was looking forward and hoping that he would be restored. Rav Acha would be restored to his greatness, to his lofty position. And then when he realized that he wasn't reinstated. Shuv Omar. Then he said, "Li'olam ein mativen lo." One will never get return to the better times after experiencing the setback. Now we continue with the Tosfos. Dibur Maschil Chelek. this refers to the Gemara, 16 lines from the bottom. Chelek b'chor v'chelek poshut yahavinon lei achad matzra. If a person is inheriting his father's estate and he happens to be a firstborn, so he'll get two portions, twice as much as any one other brother. So the two portions of land that he receives, it's clear to the Gemara that they will be together, sharing the same border, contiguous pieces of property. And that is kidenaf kilon b'yesh noichlin, as is learned out in the 8th perek of this Masechta, midichtiv, from the posuk that says pi shnayim, that the firstborn gets pi shnayim, makish chelik b'chora l'chelik poshut. The second portion, the double portion, the second portion that he gets is compared to the basic portion. Poshut means the chelik poshut is the basic portion that he gets because he's another one of the brothers. And here we have to explain. And just like the chelik poshut, the one portion that you get is not divided into several small pieces of land. It's one piece, one parcel of land. So too the chelik b'chora that he gets with the chelik poshut is likewise not split apart from the chelik poshut. We continue now with the Tosfos Divur HaMashchil HaMitzra. This refers to the Gemara, 11 lines from the bottom, HaMitzra DeBei Noshi. The Gemara was describing a member of a family that bought a parcel of land on the border of Bei Noshi. What does Bei Noshi mean? When we were learning the Gemara, we mentioned it could mean a piece of land bordering on his own father's properties, or a piece of land bordering on his father-in-law's properties. And then the Gemara dealt with the development of the passing of either his father or the father-in-law. Can this particular brother insist on receiving his portion of the estate that borders on the land that he had previously purchased on his own? Tosfos makes reference to these two different possibilities. Is de goras boser hachi? There are those that have later in the Gemara. It means on the ninth line from the bottom. The girsa amri achvisa. The sisters spoke up and said. So achvisa, the sisters, namely, are the sisters. These are the daughters of the deceased. In Cain, be nashia, if that's the case, then the Bei Nashia reference before was Hainu Chomiv, his father-in-law. That a man bought a parcel of land bordering on his father-in-law's property. The Lohoyu Lechomiv Bonim Kiim Bonos, and the father-in-law that passed away had as heirs only daughters, and amongst the daughters was this man's wife. The man who bought a piece of land when his father-in-law was still alive, bordering on the father-in-law's properties, and now this man wants his wife to receive as her portion in her father's inheritance that piece of property that borders on his previously the husband's previously acquired land. We continue. V'is de goras. Some have in the Gemara Amri Achi. The brothers spoke up. In Cain, if you accept that version, then Bei Nashia Hainu Oviv. Then Bei Nashia means the man's father, the man's own father. And when the father passed away, so his brothers spoke up. We continue now with the Tosfos Divur HaMashchil Kegon. This refers to the Gemara 10 lines from the bottom. And at this point, Rabba had spoken up and said, "We must accommodate his request." This one can benefit, and it doesn't come at the cost to the others. Tamal Luri. L'rabo amai itzterich kro bivachor diavino le achad mitzra. Notice in our markings we have a little arrow. This refers you back to the Tesis Dima Maschel Chilek. In that Tesis, it was pointed out that a firstborn gets his double portion together. The two portions are contiguous based on a verse, based on a pasuk, Pishnayim. The Re here is asking, according to Rabba, that introduced the idea of land division when it's beneficial to one and doesn't come at a cost to the others. Why do you need a pasuk to tell us that a bechor gets his two parcels of land together? Even without the pasuk, wouldn't it have been appropriate to say, of course he gets his two parcels together? Kofen Amida Sedom. The Omeri. So the Ri explains, why is it so necessary to have a posuk? The fi shelo nosan lo hakosuv koyach elo kishnei echov. The Bechor, in getting his double portion, as far as the kosuv is concerned, as far as the Torah is concerned, he is getting a double portion as if the same as two brothers. He has the same power as two brothers. The ilu hoyu shnei echov roitzin lishtatev. Imagine a family with several brothers inheriting an estate, and two of the brothers decided to partner up. Well, and now, and each brother deserves a portion, and now they decided before the division of the estate to partner up. Lo kafinon lashlishi loseis lahem chelek biyachad. We wouldn't force a third brother to accept these two brothers getting their portions together. We wouldn't force the third brother into accepting their desire, being that they're partners, to get their two parcels of land together, so that the idea of forcing, which is part of the concept of Kofen al Midas Dom, would be inapplicable or inappropriate to, as an explanation for the Bechor to get his two portions together, because he is no different than two brothers getting their respective two portions. The oid, the Bechor, the extra portion that a Bechor gets, matona karya rachmona, kida omar b'yesh noichlin, phenomenon of a Bechor getting an extra portion is viewed by the Torah as his receiving a gift. As the Gemara says in Yesh Oichin Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Loseis loy pishnayim. Loseis is from the same root as matona, to give a gift. V'ein lochuf es hanoisein. We don't ever consider forcing the givers of gifts into giving a gift of land let's say someone is giving a parcel of land as a gift. He has several parcels of land, and the receiver happens to own a piece of land next to one of these parcels that the gift giver has, and we say to the gift giver, you must give, if you're giving him a gift of land, you must give him that parcel of land that's next to the land that he already owns, the receiver already owns. That's ridiculous. You would never force a gift giver into that restriction or that consideration. And being that that's the case, and you notice in our markings, we've dashed on line the expression lo kafi kafinun or ein lochuf. No, there's no forcing regarding these cases, and the extra portion that a bechor gets fits into these two descriptions, either view them like two brothers or a receiver of a gift. And in those cases, the concept of forcing is inappropriate and irrelevant. Ah, if that's the case, then I understand well why Rabbah needs to fall back onto a pasuk, or why it's necessary, why it would be necessary to fall back onto the pasuk of Pishnayim in order to justify the Bechor getting his double portion in a contiguous fashion. Ulabaye nami. This is a reference to the Gemara 14 lines from the bottom regarding the Yavam. According to Abai as well, Ilav Dekarye Rachmona Bechor, had the Torah not referred to the Yavam as a by the term Bechor, we should note that Abaye in the Gemara had suggested that the Yavam will get his portion and the inherited portion of his deceased brother in a contiguous fashion, because the Torah refers to the Yavam by the word Bechor. So according to Abaye as well, if not for the Torah calling the Yavam Bechor, namely the description of the Yavam as Bechor, and because of the Pasuk, he, according to Abai, is to get the two portions, his own portion and his deceased brother's portion together. If not for the Pasuk, Havamina, I would have thought, Yokum al Shem Ochiv, that's found in the Pasuk, the Hoya Bechor Asher Teleid, the Bechor who is going to be the Yavam, is Yokum al Shem Ochiv, Ki'ilu hu V'ochiv Kayomin. The expression V'yokum al Shem Ochiv would have been taken to mean that it's as if he and his brother are alive. And it's clear that we wouldn't force the other brothers to give to two brothers their respective portions in a contiguous fashion. V'ritzbo meforish deho d'oma rabo klifin. The Ritzbo addresses the same issue that we saw at the beginning of the Tosfos. Rabo, who in our sugya introduced klifin amidas tum, when it comes to bechor, that did not seem to be relevant by virtue of the fact that the Torah had to give a pasuk indicating that the two portions are to be together. So the Ritzbo explains that Rabbah's reference to Kofin was not on a Torah level, but rather it was a takonas chachomim. Well, if that's the case, if Kofin amidas tum that Rabbah is referring to is a takonas chachamim, we can't apply that to the issue of a bechor getting his two parcels together on a Torah level. So we want to speak about the right that the bechor has to get his two pieces of land together and say that he has a right on a Torah level, so you need a pasuk for that. The kofin amidas tum doesn't come to that level. It's a suggestion that we'll say parcels of land should be together in different cases, but on a rabbinic institution. But not suggesting for one second that is operative on a Torah level, like the issue of the Bechor and his receiving the two portions of land together. Now, we spoke all of that by way of introduction to the section of the Tosis with the Ritzbah. You'll notice as we read the Tosis, we're going to be skipping a large section just to maintain the smooth flow of thinking, and then we'll go over the bracketed section. So once again, Ritzbah Meforish, the Hod Yama Rabbah, Kaifin, Lo Mi Din Torah Ko'omar, skip the brackets, Elo Mi Takonas Chachomim Ko'omar, Hocha, the Kaifin. In our case here in the Gemara of one who bought a parcel of land on the bordering on his father's properties, his father-in-law's properties, and the expectation that he should get in the division of the estate that which borders on his land, okay, that's a takonas chachomim. That's something that the rabbis instituted. And to the extent that we would even force the others to accept this type of division. And now it becomes irrelevant to ask the question that we did at the beginning: what do you need a posik for? Of course, you need a posik with for the bechor, because that establishes his right to receiving the double portion on a Torah level. Now let's go over the bracketed section. Again, we're reading Vritzbo Meforesh, Dehod Yama Rabbo Kaifin, Lo Midin Torah Komar, Debedin. As far as actual letter of the law is concerned, Hoya Yochol Limchois Shekinegdoi, the other brother could have protested. Deiko Kepeda Baruchos. Ruchos refers to the different directions, east, west. I have a preference for the direction of the land that is the one next to the one you bought. Kide Omar Bakama Duchtin, as we see in different places in the Shas, that hakpoda, that a insistence on getting a land facing of a getting property facing a particular direction is a legitimate claim. V'oid ha de koifen al midas stoin. The whole idea of forcing to be decent, namely don't be like Sodom, forcing people to cooperate where one benefits and it's not coming at a loss to the next guy, Hainu, that whole approach, that whole attitude is b'shekvar dor b'chotzer chavero. The classic case is with reference to someone that inhabited the courtyard of his friend, she'eno male lo yischar, that he doesn't have to pay because it's a courtyard that wasn't going to be rented out anyway, and at least the guy living there now that's dwelling there can benefit. Zen hene, he benefits by living there, and it's not at the expense of the owner who wasn't going to rent it out anyway. It wasn't a renting property. And we say, leave him, let him stay there and not demand any rental. That's a case where he's already been dwelling there. The individual already parked himself in that chotzer. Aval ha-pshita. However, it's obvious she yochol limchoyz voishelo yikonis lodur beveso afilu b'chotzer delo kaimel agro v'gavro delo ovid lemegar. It's obvious that if you want to prevent someone from entering your property, from preventing him out at the outset before he moves in, you want to say, I don't want you coming in here, even if it's a courtyard that wouldn't be rented out anyway, and even if it's a person that doesn't need to rent, to have a ze lo nehene ve ze lo choser, which is a situation where this one isn't really benefiting and this other one isn't really losing, and still we can insist at the outset when nothing has yet transpired, one can object. I don't want you living there. so that the whole idea of kofen al midas stom is only, we'll say, post facto, when the benefit or the pleasure has already started taking place. And therefore, when you're dealing with the division of Bechor property, which is an issue of starting something at the outset, the application of Kofen al Midas Tom would not be relevant. Just as we said, Kofen al Midas Tom has relevance to situations that are already in motion, and that's not relevant to the case of land received by the Bechor, the double portion. So when according to the Ritzvah, when Rabba spoke of Kofen al Midas Tom, it wasn't speaking midin Torah, because midin Torah, from like a letter of the law, Tosus explained the others could object because of the issue of ruchos, of directions, and furthermore, as he said, the whole concept of kofen al midas tom doesn't have any relevance to a case where you're dealing with something at the outset. So then, what was Rabba's application of kofen al midas tom in our Gemara? Elo mitakonas chachomim ko'omar hocha the kofen. In our case, where it was in fact an issue of dividing land at the outset and entitling the portion of the estate to be next to the portion of land that he had already acquired, that's something that exists mitakonas chachomim. The hashda, and now that having been said, ein lahakshos klal amai itzrich kro b'vachor. Why was there any necessity for a pasuk regarding the bechor? Obviously, it's completely necessary, where the whole application of kofen al midas tom would have no relevance, either from the standpoint that it's only a takonas chachomim, or from the standpoint that you're dealing with the division of land at the outset and not dealing with a situation that's already in motion. We now continue with the next Tosfos. Dima Maschil Ma'alinon. This is relevant to the Gemara, 8 lines from the bottom. Ma'alinon le kenichse debar merion. The other brothers could say that the portion of land that you want to receive, well, in our eyes, that particular portion is like nichse debar merion. Now, I should emphasize that explanation is based on the Rashi approach, and this of course was relevant to the division of land of an estate where one had previously bought land that bordered on the estate that's being divided. And Rav Yosef said that in response to Rabba, this isn't an issue of midas stoim. The other brothers can object that particular parcel of land that's alongside the previously purchased parcel of land, they would say ma'alinon le kenichsi debar merion. Now, as we go through the Tosfos, we have a taktzir and a mivneh that we have on the side. And a house marking appears. You'll see that highlights Kuntris, meaning Rashi, and later Rabbeinu Tam. There's a machlokis, how to explain machlokis echlevara bitui malinon, how to explain the expression malinon le kenichsi debar merion. Rashi says neches mevorachin. It's in our eyes, it's a more valuable piece of property. Rabbeinu Tam has a totally different approach. He says that the term alinon lei means that the brothers can demand tashlum domim yiserim. If they could say to him, to the one that had purchased his own parcel alongside the estate, oh, you want a portion of the estate bordering on your land? Huh. Well, then pay us for that right. That's tashlum domim yiserim ayudei zeh sheyeshlo rotzon yeser kedei lasigo. Since that particular brother has a special interest in getting that land, that will say jacks up the price, so to speak. Oh, you want it so badly? So pay us, compensate us. So that's as far as Rabbeinu Tam is concerned, ma'alninon lei has to do with paying money. The od cholkim, and there's also a disagreement, im hamikrim haboim ba'gemara, if the succeeding cases in the Gemara. We had a triangle scheme, and the issue that we're dealing with right now is triangle number 3. What about the succeeding cases? Tre arasa, tre nigri, tarti arasa, had nigra. Those cases, the Indian tre arasa, regarding the two portions, parcels of land, there's a machlokas hemshech shel mikre hanochachi. Are they to be understood as a continuation of the present case of someone having previously bought a parcel of land, namely hahu de zavanara, amatzur de beinashe, klomar ha'im ha'mikrim ha'boyim gam medubar ba'odem shemirosh rochash karka. Are those succeeding cases also examples of someone who had at the outset bought a parcel of land? According to Rashi, and that's the way we had learned the Gemara, heim hemshech, yes, those succeeding cases are a continuation of this idea or this example of someone having, one of the brothers having previously purchased a parcel of land. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, milse ba'ant benafshe, the succeeding cases stand on their own. They're not a continuation of this example. And Tosis also will deal with the issue of Mosai Shayach Litoin. When is it possible to place the claim of Malinon Le Kenichse de Bar Merion? And now the Tosis. Malinon Le Kenichse de Bar Merion. Pirsh HaKuntris. Besodeh HaBaal. Rashi had explained, and we saw this in the Rashi himself, that it's talking about the estate is watered by rain. Stei HaBaal means rain watered. The Airi Shiachilim Loimar, and it's speaking that the other brothers could say, this was of course Rav Yosef's objection to Rabbah, and where the other brothers could say Shepa'omim Mizbareches Mishar Sodos, that parcel of land that's next to your land actually produces more fruits, more fruitful than the other parcels in the estate. And on those grounds, pun intended, you can't insist on getting it over us. And then regarding the Ubatarti Arasa Tre Nagri, namely the next case in the Gemara, 7 lines from the bottom of the Gemara, Lo Shayech Lemeimar Ma'alinon. In that case, in our eyes, it's a more valuable piece of land, is not relevant. Kevon Shitzorach Lashkois, Veimis Barach Azu Yoisir Mizu. Since there are parcels of land lying on a Tre Nagri, 2 irrigation ditches, you're not dealing with a rain watered field called a rain field, and since it's irrigated, one field isn't going to be more productive than the other, like you're dealing with the The human being is in full control of the watering situation, so one isn't going to produce more than the other. V'ein nir'eh. However, it doesn't appear that we that explanation. The gam oisim shitzorich lahashkois, because even those kind of fields that you need to irrigate, that you have to water yourself, misbareches achas mehem pomim yoiser shachas loike b'shidafon v'achas eino loike. Even then, one field might produce more than the other. One field could be afflicted by crop blast, and the other remains healthy. So that leads us to another approach. Upirish Rabbeinu Tam. Malinon kenichsi debar merion. That expression, lo nitain lecha zchus, shiyesh lonu besode zu imloi bedomim yiserim. Kemo b'nei merion shoyu ashirim. The expression Malino Kinisavan Marian means we, other brothers, are not going to give you our rights to that field that borders along the field you yourself had bought earlier. We're not going to give you our rights to that field unless you add, if you insist on getting that field, so you add money, pay us. Like the B'nai Merion family that happened to be wealthy, and they wouldn't sell their fields unless people would pay them high amounts of money. And it was extra money. So the reference to the B'nai Merion is a reference to those kind of people that want more money, extra money. Fetarti Arusa Tre Nagri, the subsequent case of the Gemara, Lo koi a'uvdo dahu gavra. It's not a continuation of the case of a person who had bought his own land previously and wanted, as part of the division of an estate, that which was next to his purchased land. Elo milsa ban bin nafshe. Rather, it's a separate case that stands alone. Klomar. So then, what is the case? Shtei sados shiyesh l'chol echad neger. There are two fields, each one having its own irrigation ditch running by its side, and these two fields are part of are an estate that is being divided between two heirs. V'roitza echad, and one of the brothers wants shiyachalku kol achas l'shtayim, that each one of the two fields should be divided into two. Sheika chatzi sode zu v'chatzi sode zu. One brother has this idea, I want half of this field and half of the other field, and you get the other half of this field and the other half of the other field. Oma rabo kaifen amidas dom v'yito kol echad sode sholem. What do you mean split fields? You get half and I get half of this one. Each one gets a complete field. So that each one gets a parcel of land on one border. Meaning the two halves of one field border on each other. And similarly, one will explain Tarti Arasa Chadagra. The next case in the Gemara, the succeeding case in the Gemara of two parcels of land on one ditch. Shehaneger, according to this is what is the description of that case of two parcels of land on one ditch? It's different than what we had seen earlier. Shehaneger, the ditch mafsik bein shtei hasodos. There are two fields on either side of one ditch. V'im yichalku kol sode lishtayim, and if each field were to be divided into half, lo ye chelko achad matzra. If you get half of the field on the eastern side of the ditch and half of the field on the western side of the ditch splits the two parcels of land. So they're not on, they're not contiguous, they're not on one border. Vahashta, and now with this explanation, Bahani, regarding these cases, these cases that are not a continuation of the previous situation where one had bought a parcel of land. We're not dealing with any previously purchased parcels of land, and now that being the case, lo shayach lemeimar ma'alinon k'nichsei debei bar merion. There's no room for saying pay extra money. That idea had relevance when one of the brothers, because he had a previously parcel of land that he purchased, he has a special interest in getting his portion of the estate that borders on that land. Oh, you have a special interest. It's worth more to you than it is to us, so you pay us for that. In these cases, though, that's not the situation. It's simply a straightforward initial division of an estate. And the disagreement between the brothers was that one of them came forth saying, I want us to split the parcels of land. You get half of this parcel, and you get half of the other parcel. And in a case like that, it's not shayach to speak of malinon k'nichsei bar merion. Da'otuim o echad rotzeh lachlik le'esrim. Imagine one of the two brothers wants to divide a parcel of land into 20 parts. Nomar, would you think to say shi'achaku that he could that it could be divided that way because otherwise mishum de malinon because otherwise he could say if not then pay me not to have it divided that way. That's ridiculous. Once again, could you imagine? Because if one brother got the brainy idea to have a parcel of land divided into 20 different portions, and if you are not going to accept me, you're not going to accept my idea, then pay me, compensate me for not doing that. It doesn't make any sense. It's irrelevant. And furthermore, the lashon ma'alinon nami eino misyashev lepirush hakudrus. On a grammatical level or etymological level, the word ma'alinon doesn't fit in with Rashi's explanation. Ma'alinon means, as far as Tosfos is concerned, paying out money, not as Rashi said, how one views or considers in his own eyes something to be more valuable. So hence, Rabbeinu Tam, as we just saw, has a different approach to this entire piece of Gemara, triangles 3, 4, and 5, as we marked them off, different approach than that of Rashi. We continue with the Tosfos at the top of Yud Gimel Omer Aleph, which was toward the end of our Gemara Shir. How is a piece of land to be divided when Chad Gisa Nigra V'Chad Gisa Nara? This Tosfos corresponds to the first line of the Gemara. We had a diagram that we saw in Rashi and how that piece of land, if it's part of an estate that's to be divided between two brothers, how Rashi saw to the division. Tosfos continues, Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, Soda Asher, Mizrocho Tzfona Nahara, and you can use the diagram along with the Tosfos, a piece of land whose eastern and northern side, eastern and northern part of the land has a river running through it. Umarova Udroma Moshef Nigra. And the western and southern parts of the property have an irrigation ditch running through it. Cholkin Isa Bekarna Zoil, the Loshen of, that was the Loshen of the Gemara, Pirush Cholkin Isa Be'alach Zoin, Mikeren Mizrach Isfainis, Likeren Marovis Dreimis. It's to be divided in a diagonal fashion, as you can see in the diagram. A diagonal running from the northeastern corner down to the southwestern corner. And with that, you have an equitable division of land. Via lechol echad, tzad echad nigra, v'chad tzad nahra. And with that, each one gets a piece of land that has river running through it and ditch running through it. V'chol hechad moshich nahra o nigra, and wherever the either the river or the irrigation ditch is running, kori chagisa, that's called the side, the that particular side. So the Gemara that used the expression chad gisa nigra v'chad gisa nara is a reference to the section that the river is running through. This in it appears to me is in contrast with the Rashi approach that had not the river running through, but the land bordering on the river and the land bordering on the irrigation ditch. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.